fasten your seatbelts, and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. Motor racing has been a predominantly male sport since day one. The first recorded race between motorized vehicles happened in 1867, with a street race between steam carriages. It would be three decades before a group of Parisian women on motorized tricycles raced around a horse track, marking the first known instance of women racing motor vehicles. Though men may have raced before women, women were never as far from motorsports as you might expect, with women like Margaret Allen in the 1930s, Sarah Christian in the 1940s, Annie Hall in the 1960s, and most recently Danica Patrick, making their mark in racing history. Women are still the minority in current motorsports demographics, but at all levels of racing, from grassroots to professional, women make up a greater proportion of competitors than ever before. Some, by mention of their name alone, conjure up images as heroic as any man in the business. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shireen Seewert. Today, we meet an Eagle River native who is breaking plenty of gender stereotypes in the racing scene. Natalie Decker started racing as a young child behind the wheel of a go-kart. She moved up the racing ladder quickly, winning a track championship in 2014 at State Park Speedway in Rib Mountain and winning the super late model division at Golden Sands in Wisconsin Rapids. Now, at age 22, Natalie is well on her way to becoming one of the top young drivers in the NASCAR scene, continuing her progression up the racing ladder. Natalie, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me today.
Well, congratulations on your recent successes. You've had something of a large rise in racing. It must be just so incredibly exciting for you.
It is so exciting, and racing has just been in my family for so long. It started with my dad and his brothers. They raced snowmobiles. My dad used to own the World Championship Snowmobile Derby in Eagle River, Wisconsin. So that's where I got my love for motorsports, and we still get to travel every weekend as a family and still enjoy it, how it all started.
And you mentioned your dad, Chuck, was the owner of the Eagle River Derby track. That's the track that hosts the annual World Championship Snowmobile Derby. Was that your first exposure to racing?
It was. I grew up, you know, always at that track with my parents when they were working and watching my dad. He still raced once I was He stopped when I was just born, but then once I got a little older, he started up again, and I got to watch him race. And then finally, I saw a go-kart race. It was a business trip. I was with my dad, and we stopped on our way home somewhere in Wisconsin. I don't remember where. I was so young, but he just stopped on the side of the road because he saw the lights were on, and that was my first go-kart race I ever saw, and I fell in love. And I told my dad, I was like, Dad, I want to race go-karts. Like, snowmobiles are fun, but I want to race go-karts. That's what I want to do. And it took him about, like, 3 years to take me seriously. But finally, for my 9th birthday is when he got me a go-kart and we started racing as a family.
Tell me about the first time you got behind that go-kart. I mean, what did it feel like?
It was so wild because I did race a snowmobile once when I was really, really young. I only went like 10 feet. Once they waved the green flag, I went 10 feet and I took my helmet off and I told my dad I wanted to quit.
Oh.
So that was my snowmobiling career. And then once we got into the go-kart, I was just so excited and I wanted to do so well. It took a couple weeks. I think it took about 2 weeks for me to get comfortable and, you know, I think then we started winning races right away because I'm pretty sure like my third race ever, we won it. But it took a while. It took a while to get comfortable. It took a while to know what I was doing. Even my dad, he didn't know what he was doing. All he ever did was race snowmobiles and in dirt cars. So he had no idea what he was doing working on it. But we all learned together.
How long did you race go-karts?
I raced go-karts for 3 years, and then I moved into a four-cylinder, a small stock car, when I was 12, and we started racing locally, like at Golden Sands and State Park Speedway, some of the tracks you mentioned earlier.
So those are the smaller cars, right? The what do they call those? The minis or
It's still like a full-size car because it's almost like a street car that you turn into a race car. But it's just not as fast as like the super late models, what I finished doing before I got into the NASCAR series.
So I'm sure there are listeners who are not super familiar with the differences between these. So what's the difference between modifieds, super stocks, and late models? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of differences. So first off, they just have different rules to keep like costs down. So they run different motors and things like that. But the big difference is like super late models are like on a big tire and have a lot of horsepower and it's very technical. And then once you go down to like a super stock, they run on a small tire and it's grooved. It's not like a slick tire where it's all tire. And a lower horsepower motor, and like they have rules with their shocks, so you can't go and buy like super expensive shocks and make it handle super good. You have to stick to the rules. So like they try to make it easier and simpler for the smaller classes, because that's usually where you start racing. So they try to keep the cost down, and then they also try to make it just simpler for everyone as well.
You said that your dad really had the experience in snowmobile racing, but not in go-karts and cars. I mean, was he kind of
Yeah.
learning along with you?
Oh, yes. And so my go-karting days, my uncle, his brother Steve, he came along to every single race, and he was kind of like my mechanic, and he ran the whole show. But it was a huge learning curve for everyone because they knew nothing about it. And there were so many tricks and different type of things that we had to learn from our competitors as we were coming back every weekend to race. But it was so fun. And all the way up through stock car racing, I had to race under a team because my family and I, we couldn't do that on our own like we could go-kart racing. It was way more technical. And we needed way more knowledge than what we all had. So we always had to race under a team instead of just a family. But the family was always involved every step of the way. And they're still involved. We still go out to all the NASCAR races together.
So how did you get involved with a team? I mean, how does that work?
Well, with short track racing, how I got involved with teams there is just meeting people at the track and making contacts and connections with people who, might have a car that they like to rent out, or they, help drivers. So that's how I did it in short track racing. But NASCAR is so much different, because it's very expensive. You have to find a sponsor and funding. And then also you have to make sure that a team that you want to go to has a seat available and they're not already filled up with drivers. So it's a lot different in NASCAR than it is short track racing.
Is there a lot of competition to get those seats?
Yeah, definitely, because some drivers might already have their sponsors lined up for 5 years in a row and something locked in, so they will always, have priority because they already have their sponsorship. So then someone that doesn't necessarily have their sponsorship lined up and they're still working on it, they might have last pick because everyone, already picked their teams and signed contracts, and you're just a little bit behind if you don't have any funding lined up or sponsorships. So that's how that works. It's a lot different.
So you grew up in Eagle River, as you said, and what was it like as you were growing up? And you were really focusing on racing. What did your friends think at school? What was that like?
First of all, I love Eagle River. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy I grew up there. It's so beautiful, and my dad's racetrack was just, that's what made me fall in love with motorsports. My school, Northland Pines, was absolutely amazing with me going from compute like going from schooling on my computer to then coming back into the classroom when I was traveling. But it was so different. Like you said, what did my friends think? It was so fun. I brought so many friends to the racetrack. and they absolutely loved it. And we had so much fun, and I've made so much memories with all my friends doing that. But I had to miss a lot of, like, teenager, you know, fun things that all my girlfriends were getting to do because I was already working towards my career and my dream and my goal. So I was, like, in such, like, you know, athlete mode all the time. What do I need to do to make myself better and keep moving forward? And I had to make a lot of sacrifices. But one thing that I didn't have to sacrifice too much for, but I did just a little bit, was I played hockey. And that was just really amazing fun. It taught me so much for, like, the real world and for racing and being out in the real world at such a young age. In doing all this business at such a young age, my hockey coach and my hockey team taught me so much, and I'm just so glad I got to experience that in high school and have all those memories.
So, you know, you talked about missing some things that your girlfriends were going through. Were you able to go to, like, homecoming dances and proms and things like that, or did you miss?
Oh, the best story ever. Yes, I did get to go to prom. I think I've only missed a couple homecomings. But prom, we always made sure I was there. And because that was one, like, thing. I was like, I need to go to prom. I'm a girl. I want to dress up. I want to do my makeup and get my hair done. And we were testing in Wisconsin Dells. And that's about three and a half hours from Eagle River. And we were testing the day of prom. So we tested all day, got the car all dialed in for the race. That was the next night. And I made my mom drive me back home so I could make prom. I'm changing out of my race suit, doing my hair in the car, doing my makeup, getting dressed. And she gets pulled over. First time ever getting pulled over. Has never gotten a speeding ticket because she's trying to get me to prom. And the guy that pulled her over, the cop, was a fan of my dad. He used to watch snowmobiles all the time, all the races. He's like, oh, my gosh, you're Chuck Decker's wife. And he was a huge fan. So we were still so disappointed we got the speeding ticket. So that's her only speeding ticket.
Well, she still got the ticket. She didn't get a warning, huh?
I know. I was so sad. I'm like, you're a fan and you're still giving us the ticket.
Well, here's my question. When you did go to prom, who drove? Did you or your date?
Well, the first time I think I went to prom, no, I did have my license. My first going to prom, I didn't drive. But my senior year, my dad had, I don't know what year it was, but he sold it. He had a Viper. It was very, very old. And it was such a cool car. And I drove my date to prom in my dad's cool car. So, yeah, I did drive once.
I love it. Well, I guess I do have that made me think about what it must have been like for you to get a driver's license when you had already been driving for years. Right? I mean,
yeah,
what was
yeah, so,
how does that work? You go to the DMV and you say, yeah, I've been driving since I was 9.
I know. It was crazy. I actually almost failed because I wasn't looking in my mirrors enough. And I was never used to that as a race car driver. You have someone telling you as you're out there what's behind you and what's going on, spotting for you. So I was just like, I'm not used to looking in my mirrors. And I almost failed. I was so nervous.
I don't know. If you failed your driver's test, I don't know if you would have ever lived it down, huh?
I know. I know a few race car drivers that have failed. So it's kind of funny.
You're listening to Natalie Decker from Eagle River, an up-and-coming name in national motorsports. When we return, we'll hear more about her experiences and what it's like to grow up in a racing family. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Our guest today is Natalie Decker, an Eagle River native making a name for herself in the world of motorsports. Natalie, have you ever gotten a speeding ticket of your own?
I have not. I haven't even been pulled over yet, so hopefully it never happens. I'm going to knock on wood really quick.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, getting serious for a moment. I know you've had some challenges in your life. I understand you were diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when you were a child. Is that something that you still struggle with, or has it affected your career in any way?
Yeah, I was diagnosed at age 2. I was born with it, and they say the link was from my dad because he has psoriasis, and that's very common. Then for your child to be born with an autoimmune disease very similar. And yeah, it definitely as a child, I played hockey, so that was a sport I could really excel in because I wasn't like I didn't have to run or anything like that, no pounding on my knees or my ankles. It was very nice and easy to skate. But I was also in dance. That was hard because for a long moment of my life, my arms were locked at a certain angle and I could not fully straighten them. So being wanting to be a dancer like my mom, that was like really difficult. But with racing, at a young age when I started, it didn't affect me too much with the physicalness of like my joints hurting or anything like that. The biggest thing that we had to do was time my medication because the medication I was on was a chemo drug and it would make me very sick for a couple of days. So we had to time my medication around my races, which was really funny because we wanted to make sure I'd be like rather be sick at school than sick on the weekend for my race.
Sure.
That was the biggest difficult thing growing up, but now it went into remission for a couple of years and now it has came back and I'm doing infusions every 6 weeks and it's been helping me so much. The doctors I have down here in North Carolina are just absolutely amazing and really want me to excel in my racing career and everything else. So they're always there for me whenever I need them and always trying to do their best for me.
I'm glad you're getting good care. I know that can be a very debilitating issue, and it sounds like you're managing it well. You were quoted in a July industry story by Three Wide as saying this: "Women in any professional sport can be beautiful, caring, sweet, and still good at what they do. Women can be all those things and still be a professional athlete or CEO." So there's always a lot of buzz about you being a woman in a field of men. Of course, for obvious reasons, but does it bother you that people focus on that, you being a woman rather than you being a driver?
Yeah, like that quote says it all. Like it really hurts me when I see people saying, "Oh, she's only there because she's pretty," or "she's only there because she's a girl." And there's so many amazing athletes and CEOs and businesswomen, and they're there because they're smart and they're there because they work hard, and that's why they're there. It's a plus that they if they wanted to be, they could be a model too, but that's not what they wanted to do. They wanted to be, a businesswoman or an athlete. And I just think it's so important to realize that about all these young girls and girls that have been in their profession for a long time as well. They're there because they work just as hard as the person next to them, if not harder. And that's what I always like to try to get across to so many people that just assume that because that's just not fair, and it hurts me to see all those comments on social media and other women's pictures and things like that.
Well, the racing field is, of course, overwhelmingly male. Are you treated any differently when you're on the racing circuit? I mean, what about with your fellow racers and the other people who are involved in it?
There's definitely some drivers that will race me just a little bit harder because they don't want to be beat by a girl, but for the most part, there's a lot of drivers that treat me with a lot of respect and treat me as just another race car driver. But you do have those some that are like, "Oh, I don't want to get beat by a girl," and they'll race you a little more aggressive or a little too hard.
I suppose you're going to get that, right? But there are a lot of little girls in this world who absolutely dream of a career like yours. You have fans all the way in Germany, even other countries as well. What does it feel like to be a role model to these young women? Do you feel there's a lot of pressure, or is that something that you embrace?
I definitely embrace it and don't try to put pressure on myself for it. I just really try to show the insides of my life and show all my experiences and be very truthful with everyone, and especially all those young kids that dream of being, you know, a race car driver, a professional athlete, because I want them to know, you know, all the ups and the downs and give them all the advice that I can. I mean, I'm still very young and still trying to work my way up even further in NASCAR, so I'm still learning. But I love being able to show them the inside of my life and give them all the advice that I can give and share my experiences with them, because I know that I've had a lot of people do that with me growing up, and it just means the world to me, and it has helped me so much through my career, having all those people that I look up to give me advice or, you know, tell me you just have to believe in yourself. And when you hear that from someone that you look up to, it just makes it so much better and easier for you to, like, keep going when you have those hard days.
This year has been an exceptional one for you. I mean, before the pandemic postponed the season in February, you had the highest finish of a woman in the truck series ever. Did you know you broke that record right away?
I had no idea that was a record that I broke. And I was just so happy that we finished that race. I mean, Daytona, you never know. It can go either way. You're either going to wreck out or win it or have a decent finish. And to come home with a fifth place finish, we were just all so happy. My team and I were all celebrating. My mom and I, she came and gave me a big hug. And it was just so magical and amazing and so much emotion. I mean, my sponsors were there, and it was his birthday weekend. So it was just such a fun weekend. And then finally, we're all calming down and celebrating. And I go to do some interviews and some press stuff. And the first person to interview me is like, "What does it feel like to break the highest finishing female like record?" And I was like, "What?" I looked at my PR girl. I was like, "Wait, did we just do that?" Like, I had no idea. I was like shook and so happy. And then it was really cool to experience the whole thing. And yeah, I didn't know right away.
All right. I really want to hear more about this, the ARCA Midwest Truck Tour. How did you get involved with that? And what is it about driving trucks that you like?
So the truck series I'm in now is like the third level in NASCAR. So it goes the Cup Series and then the Xfinity Series and then the Truck Series. And some people take that as a step in their career, and some people can over skip it and they don't have to do it. It all just depends on sponsorship and if a seat is open for you on a team. And we decided to last year do the Truck Series and do it this year as well. I wanted to take that step and do it just because, especially the last 2 years, the Truck Series has been so competitive. There's so many amazing teams out there, and there's just all these young, good, talented drivers. And I really wanted to put myself in a position to be racing with all these drivers every weekend. It is difficult because there's 20 drivers out there that can win every single weekend, and they're all so good. So it is very hard and good competition, but you'll learn so much, and that's why these past 2 years we've been doing the Truck Series.
I'm really curious about your personal racing heroes, both male and female. I mean, who are some of those people that you look up to and think, I want to be like him or I want to be like her?
I have so many drivers that I look up to. First, just my family on the Decker side in general. Both my grandparents, my grandpa and my grandma, they race. My aunt, she raced. My dad and all his brothers, they all race. So I really look up to all of them and what they have done for the snowmobiling industry and how good they were as athletes and how strong of a team they were. And they were just one big family doing it. And I really, that inspires me so much. And I really look up to that. In NASCAR, I really look up to Martin Truex. He, when I first started becoming a fan of him, he was like so dominant at mile and a half tracks, and they were my weakness. I was just coming in to racing on these big tracks, and they were really difficult for me. So every weekend I would listen to his team and really focus on what they were doing that was making him so good at those tracks. So he was definitely someone I really look up to, and I still look up to him and his girlfriend. They're definitely, I look at them as a power couple for sure. And then Danica Patrick, I will always forever look up to her. She really paved the way for a lot of women in racing. And the story behind that whole family, they started, her dad raced snowmobiles against my dad, and her mom worked on my aunt's crew when my aunt raced. So, like, it's just so cool to see how small the world it is, and that, like, see, you know, her, she came from a snowmobile racing family as well.
Did you meet her? Have you talked with her?
I have a few times. I'm more close with her parents. I see them more often and get to hang out with them more often. But I've talked to her a few times, like maybe two or three, but that's about it.
How did that feel? I mean, when you're meeting this icon in women's racing, who's, as you said, paved the way for so many other women, were you nervous when you met her?
Definitely nervous, yeah. But not too nervous. Really just wanted to get advice from her and hear, you know, her side of everything and hear her story, because all you can ever see is what's on TV and on social media. So it was really cool to hear her give her advice straight from her in person. And that was awesome.
So how did the lockdown due to the pandemic impact your plans for 2020? Obviously, it had a major impact on racing. How did it shift things for you?
Oh, so much. You know, we can't have fans at the racetrack, which is horrible. That makes me so sad. I miss seeing all the fans and having that energy at the track. My parents, my boyfriend, my sponsors, they can all come to the track, but they can't be inside the racetrack while we're racing. They have to stay outside of it in the motorhome. So they can't be like on the pit box and watch the race live. They have to watch it on TV, so we don't get to like hang out as much and, you know, what we're used to, and having all that family time and those fun memories together. And then also, like, the sponsorship, that's the hardest part of racing, is finding sponsorship and funding and partners to keep racing. And with the pandemic, it's been so much harder to get in touch with companies. It's so much harder to have talks about 2021 because we don't know what's going to happen. So it's been very difficult.
And I would imagine it had to change the way you represented your sponsors then as well. I mean, just with everything changing.
Yeah. And also with the racing, like actual racing side of things, we don't get practice anymore and we don't qualify. They have a certain lineup by the time you get to the track, and the drivers show up about like an hour before the race, and you suit up, go right into your truck, you race, and then you go home. So it is so different.
I'm wondering too, with no fans in the stands, you said you kind of miss that energy, but does it maybe allow you to focus more? Or, I mean, is it a good thing or a bad thing that you don't have those people roaring in the stands while you're driving?
The one thing that's nice is there is not as much interaction at the track, as you don't have interviews or you don't get to go to the fan zone. I wish I could, because I miss seeing all my fans and getting pictures taken with them and giving them autographs and talking to them. But then again, you don't get super tired out because you have all that work you have to do, and then you got to go race your car. So you do have a lot more downtime to save your energy. But if I could pick, I'd want the fans there. I would want to go do all those interviews and take all those pictures with them, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
You've driven in such a variety of racing events, go-karts, stock carts, trucks. What's your favorite of all of that?
Oh, I have so many favorites. Super late models, what I raced short tracks in Wisconsin. Those are by far my most favorite race car in the whole entire world. And then also this year, I've been doing some road racing out west in an Audi. And it is so fun. It is so different than anything I've ever driven. It has paddle shifts, but no clutch. So it's very, like, it's high technology. It has traction control and ABS, so you can't lock up the brakes, and like a thing to help with stability, so it will be harder to spin out. And it's just wild. I've never driven anything like it, and it is so much fun. And the road racing is so different than NASCAR. For those of you who don't know the difference, oval racing is just in a circle, only in left turns, and then road racing is left hand and right hand turns. And it's way more laid back, and they have like cafes at the track, and it's just a little bit more, like, I want to say a little bit more fancy. So those are the differences, and it's so much fun. I love both sides of it. I love NASCAR, and I love road racing. I love them both.
Do you have a favorite track?
I have a couple favorite tracks. I would say I like the super speedways. I love Daytona and Talladega. Those are so much fun, and it's always been a dream of mine to race on those tracks. And then I also like, for short track racing back home, State Park Speedway in Wausau, Wisconsin. That is my favorite short track that I race at, for sure.
Is there a track that you haven't raced that you really want to?
Ooh. There's a road course in Watkins Glen that the Cup guys get to go to, and I was going to race it, I think, last year, and something happened and we couldn't race it, but that would be a road course race I'd really want to go experience.
You're hearing Natalie Decker, who is making a national name for herself in the world of motorsports. When we return, we'll find out what's next for the Eagle River native and her thoughts on the future of women in racing. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. Welcome back to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Our guest today is Natalie Decker, continuing her meteoric rise in the world of motorsports. Natalie, you're sitting at the starting line. You're waiting for the go. Take me through it. What goes through your mind?
My belt tight. Is my helmet hooked up right? I'm going over a checklist definitely in my head, making sure everything is comfortable, if I can reach my water. What fans that need to be turned on in the car. Definitely nervous. I get a little bit nervous as I'm sitting there waiting, make sure my wheel is straight. And then once we get out on the track and we start making the pace laps before we take the green, definitely the nerves start calming down. And that, for all those athletes out there who are listening, you definitely know this feeling when you get into that zone, and it's almost like second nature, and muscle memory, and everything just like takes over. And you almost, after a race or after a good game, you don't even remember like exactly what happened because you were so in the zone. And I definitely try to get in that zone every single time before a race starts.
How do you mentally prepare for a race? What is the most difficult thing for you to manage?
Definitely making sure, you know, it's a lot mentally, but then also you have to be physically prepared, so then it's easier on you mentally. And just staying hydrated and eating healthy and staying fit and staying active in the gym, and then that makes it a lot easier on you mentally, because if you get tired during a race early on, it just drains you so mentally, and it really takes mental toughness to then finish that race. Because then, you know, you're physically tired, then you start to get mentally tired, and your brain can start thinking of other things and not focusing on, in that moment, what you need to be focusing on. But as I'm leading up to a race, preparing myself mentally, definitely just getting in the mode of racing and start thinking of the track and what I want my truck to feel like and how I want to communicate with my team, and just getting in the mindset that I'm going to be racing.
And well, like you said, racing is a sport. You have to be in the best shape possible. Do you have a specific workout regime or a training schedule that you adhere to?
Yes, I work with an awesome trainer, physical therapist, and she meets me almost 3 times a week, 4 times a week, depending on our schedules. And she helps me stay the most fit possible that my body can be. And then also, well, if I'm having a down day with my arthritis or I have a flare up, then she can be a physical therapist and help me through that as well. So it just works so perfect. And she really knows how to push me my furthest without injuring my joints.
I'm curious if you have a lucky charm. I just was thinking about this because a friend of mine in racing said that he always wears the same shoes because if he doesn't, he knows he's going to lose. Do you subscribe to any of that? Do you have a lucky charm or something that you feel like you always have to do before a race?
A superstition? No, I mean, the only like superstition I have is, let's say we are going to the track, I get there, I put my race suit on, and we're about to start practice, and it starts raining, and they delay for like 4 hours or whatever the rain delay is, I can't take my suit off. Once it's on, it has to stay on. So that's the only thing I have, but I don't have like a lucky coin or lucky socks or anything like that. But the only superstition is, I guess, is once my suit's on, it's got to stay on.
All right. Racing has really undergone some significant changes with regard to driver safety in recent years. So how much thought do you give to safety when you're preparing for a race? You touched on it a little earlier. Are you, you know, thinking about, is my seatbelt on? Is my helmet on straight? Do you worry about the safety, or is that something that you feel like your team takes care of for you?
Yeah, when I'm racing, I never think twice about I'm going to get hurt or anything like that. That never goes through my head. And I have so much faith in my team that they're going to make sure my truck is, you know, as safe as possible. And NASCAR rechecks everything, and there's rules that are put in place so people can't mess that up. And like you said, the safety has come a long way since racing has started. And these cars that we're racing are just so safe, and you can take some crazy hits and go and be in some crazy wrecks and just walk away from them with nothing, not even a bruise or a scratch. And that's just amazing. And NASCAR works really hard on that every single day. And when there's a wreck, they will take those cars or those trucks and go through them and like dissect it and like see what failed or what was strong. And they do such a good job on all of that.
Have you ever been in a significant wreck?
There's only two crazy, crazy things that has happened to me. One was 2 years ago, Daytona. There was a piece of tungsten that fell off a truck, a couple trucks in front of me. We didn't even go green yet. This was under caution, right before the green flag. And it went through my left front fender, and it hit my tire. And it made my tire, like, go flat and kind of blow up. And then all the oil lines ripped all the oil lines. And then my whole truck started on fire, and the fire was coming up so high and around into the window net and into my face and all around me inside the truck. And that was, I've never been scared before, but when that fire was like up underneath my helmet and I could feel the heat on my face and on my neck and my hands, that was scary.
I would have had a heart attack.
Yeah, I think I screamed. I don't know. I was scared. But it was, whoa, that was probably the only thing that was pretty wild. But the one wreck I had that was pretty, it was a pretty hard hit. It was when I was racing in the ARCA series, and we were at Talladega, and my crank sensor went out, so my motor shut off. And I was in line on the bottom drafting. We're all pushing each other, you know, so there's like no room for your car shutting off, because then you'll get wrecked. So when my car shut off, the guy behind me pushed me and turned me into that outside wall, and I hit so hard that my belt dug into my my abdomen, and it actually gave me a hernia. So that was about the hardest wreck I've ever been in where I got like injured from.
Whoa. And was it hard for you to get back on the horse, so to speak, after that? Or was it just like, all right, this is my job and I'm doing it?
Well, the wreck really didn't even, like, when I hit the wall, it didn't even feel that hard. I didn't know, like, how much damage I had. So I tried to, and I didn't know why my car stopped, so I, like, was trying to restart it back up and come to pit road because I thought they would fix it and we could keep racing. But then I realized that there was a lot of damage after that and that the car wasn't going to start. But after that, yeah, no, at first I didn't know that I was hurt. I felt fine. I think there was a lot of adrenaline going, and I raced for a couple of races with the hernia, and then I went and got surgery the next day after one of my races. It was here at Charlotte, and that next day I went and got the surgery done, and I took 1 week off. I let someone else, I did the start, so like I got in the car, so I didn't technically take the week off, but I did. So I started the race, I took the green flag, and then I came down pit road and they pulled me out, put another driver in, and he finished the race for me. And then that following weekend I was racing again. So they were really surprised on how fast I was able to get back after getting a hernia repaired. But I was like, it's a goal of mine to only miss one race.
Wow. You've talked a lot about the importance of your team and how critical they are to your success. How did you come to sign with your current racing team? How did it come about?
Yeah, so within NASCAR, like I said earlier, that it's just so much different with how you find teams and how you sign with teams. First, you need to have the funding, and then you have to make sure that team's going to be a good fit and that they have a seat available for you and the races that your sponsor and you want to do are available at that team. And at the beginning or at the end of last year, we started talking with the team I'm with now. It's called Nice Motorsports. And they had great drivers that were on their team. One was Ross Chastain. He won a lot of races with them last year, and he was going to be involved this year. So that was a huge plus side to know that a driver like him was going to be there for me to ask any questions or lean on or get help from. And he could, you know, mentor me in any way. And then also at the beginning of the year, Ty Majeski, he's from Wisconsin as well. And I grew up racing against him short at all the short tracks. He signed with that team. So that was really awesome to know that someone at that level and has that much knowledge in racing was going to be on the team. So we really looked at the teammates I was going to have, and we really liked that they were very experienced. And then also, once you go and meet the team, you know, you got to make sure the equipment is what you're going to want and what you're going to be paying for. And then also, if the team's a good fit and you like the energy and they're good people, and that's how you can judge it. And it takes, you know, a lot of work goes into it, and you learn along the way as you race with different teams and work with different people. And then you really start to narrow down exactly, all right, this is the kind of crew chief I'm looking for. This is the kind of spotter I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for in this person. And you can start narrowing it down and really understand and know what you want.
What are some of the biggest lessons you've learned? I mean, you've really grown as a racer in the past couple of years, especially. A lot of milestones have happened. So what do you know now that you didn't know before?
Oh, there's so many. I could go on like all day with so many things I didn't know that I know now. But the biggest thing is with NASCAR, what I didn't know, what I know now, is how much work that goes into it and how hard it is to find the sponsors and how easy it is to not have a seat available for at a team that you would want to race at. And how much you need to be on your toes and ready, and the connections you need to make, and you always need to stay in contact with people. And it's just, there's so much that goes into it. And just always being on your toes and ready to work and ready to do anything. So that, I didn't know it was going to be like that. I knew it was going to be very difficult and the competition was going to be hard, but I wasn't very knowledgeable on the business side of things. And I'm still learning on the business side of things, but That's where I had no idea.
So what do you do when you're not racing? What are some of the interests you have when you're away from the track?
There's a lot of things I really like doing, but this year we didn't get to do a lot because of COVID. But my boyfriend and I met racing stock cars, but once we moved out here and we are focusing on my career, he had to not race as much. So we got a dirt bike and we go to the dirt bike track all the time and he races. He actually just won his first race ever on a dirt bike just a couple days ago, which is really cool.
Nice.
And also I get to go and I get to ride my little mini pit bike with him. So that's something we really enjoy doing. Golfing, but we haven't gone golfing this year, sadly, because of COVID. Makes me really sad. But family time, just being able to get home to Eagle River when I'm not racing and I have a time to come home and see my grandparents and my cousins and my aunts and uncles and just spend time on the lake and at Eagle River and all my friends and all the restaurants in Eagle River. Oh, I love going home just to go eat at all the restaurants.
Oh, and of course, there's no cheese curds like Wisconsin cheese curds, right?
Yes, I know there is none like Wisconsin. So yeah, when I go home, I definitely eat a lot of cheese curds.
Do you think that we're going to see a lot more women gravitating toward racing in the future? Do you think that's going to be more commonplace than it is now?
Oh, 100% in all motorsports, and not just as drivers, but engineers and crew chiefs and more people involved on the business side of things. There's going to be more women involved than there already is. There's so many girls that I see racing at the lower levels that are just killing it. They're doing so well, and I see so many girls doing other forms of racing, like dirt bike racing and dirt racing, and it just makes me so happy to see all these girls out there killing it and doing their best and winning and having fun with it. And there's going to be more and more coming up into the NASCAR series in no time.
Looking back on the season so far, how would you rate this season compared to last season?
This season has gone a lot better than last season. We still had a lot of downs this season, but that's going to happen in any sport. But especially racing, you know, you're not just racing against one team. Like, you know, when you play hockey, it's a 50-50 chance you're going to win. It's one team against one team. Well, in racing, it's you're one team against 32 other teams out there. And a lot more can fail. You know, you can have failure with your motor or parts fall off, or there's so much that you can't control in racing and things that can go wrong that you can't control. So you just always have to bring your best and do your best in the situation you're put in. And that's when you'll have, you know, your best runs and do your best.
In our last 2 minutes, I'd love to know more about your goal as a racer. So ultimately, what is that goal? What's your biggest dream of your career?
I have so many goals that I want to achieve in racing and outside of racing. But for racing, my biggest goal is to race in the NASCAR Cup Series and not just race in it once or twice, but be there for a few years, 5 years, and really pave the way even more for females to come through the sport. And then, you know, once I'm done with my racing career, which I don't know when that will be, hopefully way, way in the future, once I'm done with my racing career, one thing and a big goal also I have is to, and I have no experience in it, but it's definitely a goal of mine. I want to commentate and sit up in the booth and talk about racing because not a lot of girls are in that part of racing and in that spot. So it'd be really awesome to commentate and talk and be a part of that on TV.
That's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. I'd like to thank our guest, NASCAR driver Natalie Decker of Eagle River. Our producer is Joy Ratchkramer. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer, who is also our on-air producer today. Special music from Steppenwolf, Alicia Keys, Sammy Hagar, Toby Mack and Holland, Shania Twain, and Carrie Underwood with Ludacris. Special thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, we'll host a discussion on the polarizing effects of social media. And in 2 weeks, we'll have an update on the coronavirus pandemic from a scientific and public health perspective. If you have questions for our guests or an idea for a future program, email us at Route 51 at WPR.org. We hope you join us. Until then, we're heading out of town.